Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to this special Oscar edition, episode 220.5 of the Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. As you know, it's award season here in Los Angeles. The saps are running, the stars have donned their most colorful plumage, and the starlets have puffed up their chests and oiled and buffed them to a high sheen, which they've named Charlie. I'm talking to you live via pre-recorded tape from the Grove Shopping Mall here in Los Angeles, and from this vantage point, next to Forever 21 and just steps away from the historic CBS television city in Hollywood, I can see absolutely nothing. But the Academy Awards are this Sunday night, so as a special Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast treat, let's take a look at this year's Oscar nominees. First of all, I know many of our British listeners had high hopes for Mike Leigh's recent movie Another Year, but even though it was nominated for an outstanding British film BAFTA, it's going to be an uphill slog getting noticed at the Academy Awards. As Humphrey Bogart famously said in, I forget the name of the movie, but I know it was filmed in Casablanca, Bogie said, "The problems of lower middle-class English folk in a meandering, plotless Mike Leigh movie don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy Oscar race." Yes, I've looked that up. That is an exact quote. On the other hand, there's 127 Hours from Brits Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy, which tells the true story of Aaron Ralston, who spent 127 hours in a cave with his pet rock. The real miracle of this movie is that as you watch it, it feels as if you've been sitting there only 27 hours. It's that good. And if anybody can beat Colin Firth in the Best Actor category, it's star James Franco. He absolutely carries this movie single-handedly. The big story about Toy Story 3 is whether it will win Best Picture, since it will almost certainly win the Oscar for Best Animated Picture. As well it should, since it's way more animated than any other movie that came out last year, especially The Tourist. Angelina Jolie barely moved in that movie and is widely considered to be the frontrunner for the highly coveted Oscar for Least Actress. But they really should have called Toy Story 3 Toy Story 2 2, since it's the exact same plot as the second movie. The toys go to a new place, meet a stranger who pretends to be their friend, and have to escape. Spoiler alert, they do. And although they added a heartwarming ending, they never did answer the most important question of the Toy Story movie franchise, which is, why is the cowboy named Woody? Probably to keep it a family movie, is my guess. Now, I have to admit, the movie Black Swan took me by surprise. Something about the title Black Swan. I guess I thought Samuel L. Jackson was going to be in it, saying things like, "I have had it with these motherfucking swans on this motherfucking stage." Nonetheless, I'm predicting Black Swan is going to do very well in the Oscar Derby. Natalie Portman gives an outstanding performance. Actually, she gives two outstanding performances. She was clearly trying to make up for all the acting she didn't do in the Star Wars prequels. Many folks also had high hopes for the movie Blue Valentine, but unfortunately, that movie is the American equivalent of a Mike Leigh joint, a depressing character study with fantastic acting and no story. Although star Michelle Williams managed to score a nomination for Best Actress, Blue Valentine is most noteworthy for finally answering the question, what does a Na'vi from the movie Avatar get on February 14th? The answer, of course, is a blue you got that? Right, all right, never mind. Moving on. Now, for a couple of months, The Social Network was the movie to beat, and you could see why. It had such fantastic buzz because it's got beautifully composed shots of people staring at computer screens and action-packed scenes of people giving depositions. All that and a characterization of an obsessive, pedantic, nitpicky, socially awkward, thinks he's smarter than everybody else in the room Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg that could only have come from the mind of obsessive, pedantic, nitpicky, socially awkward, thinks he's smarter than everybody else in the room screenwriter Aaron Sorkin. And Melissa Leo's and Christian Bale's Golden Globe-winning performances in The Fighter mean that movie is very much a contender in the Oscar race. Christian is famously a method actor who goes to extreme lengths to prepare for his roles, and in this movie, he plays a loser who can't get his life together, so he takes it out on everyone else.
Think for one f***ing second. The f*** are you doing? Are you professional or not? Do I f***ing walk around and rip that? No, shut the f*** up. No! Don't shut me up.
It's the part he was born to play. Two other movies started strong with lots of Oscar buzz, but faded in recent months. The Town, directed by and starring a young kid named Ben Affleck, nabbed a Best Supporting Actor nomination for Jeremy Renner. But Shutter Island is just a way too long Twilight Zone episode, directed by another young kid named Martin Scorsese. And I'm pretty confident in saying that based on what I saw in Shutter Island, this young Scorsese kid is never going to make any Oscar-winning movies. With The Town and Shutter Island taking place in Boston, The Fighter taking place 30 miles away in Lowell, Massachusetts, and The Social Network taking place across the river at Harvard, the real Oscar winner this year is the Massachusetts Film Board. The Kids Are All Right is nominated for Best Picture and getting fantastic notices for its two stars, Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, who play a Lebanese couple whose two kids finally meet their sperm donor father. Now, full disclosure, I have not actually seen the movie, but I know that Julianne Moore was robbed when she did not get a Best Actress nomination. This is a real shame because we know from her appearance in Robert Altman's movie Shortcuts that she is ready for award season because she already has a red carpet. And Annette Bening has to be considered the Best Actress frontrunner. She won the Golden Globe for Best Actress, and she doesn't look remotely Lebanese, which tells you how good an actress she... I'm sorry, I'm being told now that they are actually lesbians in the movie, not Lebanese. I do apologize for that. Seriously? They're lesbians? Oh, I have got to see this movie.
You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Hi, I'm movie critic Bob Mondello, and though click and clack, the Car Talk guys bust a gasket when they hear it, I'm on National Public Radio.
Joel and Ethan Coen have made great movies in the past, but True Grit is arguably their most important cinematic statement to date. Jeff Bridges is right in his wheelhouse playing Rooster Cogburn. He's so natural, he could have played the part in his sleep. In fact, there were several times I think he was playing the part in his sleep. John Wayne won the Oscar in 1970 for playing the one-eyed sheriff, and many folks didn't think the movie needed to be remade. But the Coen brothers are such artists, they insisted on remaking True Grit so Rooster Cogburn's eye patch could be on his right eye instead of his left. It is that kind of attention to detail that makes the Coen brothers such filmmaking legends. And if any actor other than James Franco can beat Colin Firth in the Best Actor category, it'll be Jeff Bridges, who won the Best Actor Oscar last year and could do it again this year with one eye tied behind his back. But if there are three things Oscar voters love, it's the British monarchy, Nazis, and the handicapped. That is a hat trick, then, for Colin Firth and The King's Speech, who are going to run away with this year's Best Actor Oscar and probably Best Picture. Academy Award voters love it when actors play characters with physical or mental defects. Think of Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman, Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, or Cate Blanchett in The Aviator. Actually, in that last case, Cate Blanchett isn't retarded, but the movie is. But the other reason America has taken The King's Speech to its collective bosom is that in this movie, we finally see the origins of three quintessentially American characters. With his resilience, optimism, and disdain for authority, Jeffrey Rush's character Lionel Logue is clearly the inspiration for Bugs Bunny. And with his stuttering and lazy R's, Colin Firth's George VI is obviously the inspiration for both Elmer Fudd and Porky Pig.
I smell the blood of an English wabbit.
That's all, folks.
This is Austin Titchener from the Reduced Shakespeare Company reporting live from Hollywood.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.